ladies and gentlemen, in a world filled with pandemics and strife, two people came together to review films. Without further ado, I give you Crown and Coogler.
Yeah, we're Elite to Crown Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're back with episode number 3. And why do we keep coming back? Because you keep listening. Ryan, we got listeners. I mean, what can I say? The reality is I'm an amateur. I am doing something out of my comfort zone, trying to escape from the crazy world that we're living in. And I'm so grateful to Ryan, my partner in this, because he is really the movie guru. I mean, this guy, like I said, like you've seen, and why you keep coming back for more, is to listen to my partner, Coogler here, that is going to give us some insight on the movies that we saw. So our first one that we're going to be kicking off that we saw together is Palm Springs. Palm Springs on Hulu. It was 90 minutes long, and Ryan's going to kick us off. Go for it.
Yeah, so this was really interesting in that this movie played at Sundance in January. And apparently it had the biggest sale of any Sundance movie ever. The studio paid $18 million for this movie to distribute it. I think it was going to be a summer release, and then COVID hit. Somehow Hulu got involved, and now everybody can watch it at home. I did see one of the stars on a talk show recently, and she mentioned that it's playing at some local drive-ins. So that's cool. So you can watch this on Hulu. You can see it at the drive-in. But either way, to me, this was a breath of fresh air, quick 90 minutes. I think it's a rom-com. I'm not a big romantic comedy guy, but it's definitely a relationship movie with a twist. It comes from the Lonely Island guys, which are a couple of SNL guys. It's directed by a first-timer, and it's just, it's edgy, it's kind of dark, it's kind of cynical, but it also has a lot of humor. And the two leads, Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti, have amazing chemistry. I think that they make the movie. They're so fun together.
Totally. And
weird stuff happens. I'm not going to give anything away because there's some wackiness that ensues. But it's basically about two people that meet at a wedding, and you see what happens to them, and you just can't believe what you're seeing. But it's a fun journey to go through, and I really enjoyed this movie. I actually watched it with my son, Travis, who's with me, and I thought it'd be fun to get his insight.
Awesome. Let's do a bring your kid to work day. Like, why not?
Yeah. What's up, everyone? So I watched Palm Springs with my dad, and I, just like him, I loved it. Usually, well, this year at least, there haven't been that many movies to look forward to or like good movies, but this is easily my favorite of the year so far. I thought it was super easy to sit through, fun, funny. You didn't really know what was going to happen next. Like he said, the two leads were great, but also J.K. Simmons, I thought, was a standout, mm-hmm. like in almost everything he's in.
And he played Roy, for those that watch it and don't know. He's a pretty integral part of this.
And yeah, just super good movie. I would definitely watch it again.
What do you think, Lisa?
You know, it's okay. First of all, let me just do a little teeny spoiler. So this movie was filmed 3 doors down from my house. So the crew and everybody was there for weeks and weeks and weeks. So the whole thing takes place at my neighbor's house in Agua Dulce, which is totally insane. Filmed at my best guy friend, Lauren Best, rest in peace. My bestie who passed away, it was at his house. And I did not, you guys get this, I did not know about that it was filmed there until Ryan had me watch it. So I just have to say the surprise that I got, like, just blew my mind and made me a bit emotional because, you know, it was at Lauren's house. And so I just have to say that was like blew my mind because I was there and they don't tell you anything and there's not signs up. So you don't really know what was like going on. And anyway, so I'm so excited about the fact that I figured out which movie it was. And the other thing was so cool having Travis in. Travis, thank you for your insight there. You're so awesome. 17 years old and he is now this movie critic with his dad.
No, you know? Anytime.
I love it. Ryan, that was smart that you pulled him under your wing and you know, sure. You guys watch movies together all the time and have that together in common, which I absolutely love. So I'm so happy that you did that. So I will say this. The movie had me on the edge of my seat. I felt like I was in this whirlwind of just what was going on? What was this? And what was that? I had so many questions. I had nobody to ask because, you know, nobody was with me that saw it. So I was just like, wait, what? Oh my God. Wait, what? You know, and that, I love when a movie kind of has that. It was a little crazy. It went dumb a little, but then the second it went a little dumb, it was like funny as heck. So sometimes you need that piece there. I felt at times a little like, you know, frustrated or dizzy, right? Is that like
sure.
You see my emoji. And then, but the chemistry, you nailed it 100%. I think it's been a while since we've seen something that there was some chemistry there for sure. And that's a big part of these types of films is like, you want to really see these characters have the perfect match. And they did.
She was great. I thought she stole the movie. So Kristen Milioti, I'm not super familiar with her. She played Leo's wife in Wolf of Wall Street. I think she has been in some like Tony winning musicals, but I thought she was fantastic. Like her reactions, just when she finds out what's going on, she's like super feisty. And I just thought she was a real treat and they just played really well off each other. Andy Samberg is known for kind of dumb comedies. And it was nice to see him in this type of role. Yeah, it's silly. And some of it is kind of like, what? But I think by the end, like they pulled off whatever they were trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. And my question to you, Ryan, was what was your biggest, like, what was your lesson out of it? Like, I feel like I got a lesson out of it. What was yours?
I mean, without really giving away what it's about, I really think it plays well in what we're going through today. I don't
want to
spoil it, but it's kind of, they're going through a routine and one day's kind of like the next. I got the vibe that like, just go with it. Like if you're stuck in a rut, be positive because there's fun to be had and there's love to be had and you just kind of need to go with the flow and go where life takes you.
Yeah. You know, my takeaway was gratitude. Really real deep, deep gratitude.
And again, this is a romantic comedy and I know that that's your genre. Like, totally. Would you consider this one? What would you think? Because I know this was pitched as it and it's not a traditional one. What did you think?
I think you're nailing it. You know, I do think it was a little bit of a rom-com. Like, I think it did have that vibe. It's just, it's 2020 rom-com. It has, it's edgy and spooky and different. And look at the colors in our background. Like if those, you know, you're listening to podcasts, you can't see, but it's like yellow and pink and there's blues. And it's like, it's that, you know what I mean? It's this. So I would give it a yes on the rom-com.
Cool.
So we are going to transition into our next one. This was my pick. So we're going to each do a wild card this week. And in my wild card this week, I am inviting in my little daughter here, Adelaide, my big little daughter. She's 8. So say hi.
Hi.
So before you chime in, lady, let me tell them a little bit about this. You know, because Taylor Swift, I know you and Travis aren't running anytime fast to go see this documentary. But I got to tell you, so I have not really, I've listened to her music if it was like on. My daughter's super huge fan, hence the shirt. Can we see the shirt? Yep, wearing the Lover shirt. huge fan. So I listened to it through her, but it wasn't someone that I listened to, you know, in my life and in my world. But again, similar to the Jonas Brothers, similar to that vibe was listening to her raw and emotional, you know, real, you know, reality of Taylor Swift's journey. And ultimately it was 85 minutes. It's on Netflix. It was intimate. It was inspiring. It was emotional. It walked us through the journey of her story. And to me, I'm super fascinated by how people make it. You know, in my world, coaching salespeople, I have people that started, they have one title order today. And then, you know, watching them grow 400, 500, 700% in growth revenue, seeing that journey makes me just want to listen and ask questions. And how'd you get there? What was that about? And so I'm fascinated by people who've had exponential growth. I'm fascinated by people who are their own. I mean, she's an American singer, songwriter, writes her own stuff, and her writings really come from her experiences. And she got really raw on this, Ryan, and like opened up and shared stuff with her big fans. And I felt just such a mad respect for her. And so Addie, give us a little color about your experience when you watched it with mom.
I liked the part when she never gave up and then she made these top notch songs and she got back up.
Mm-hmm. She was bullied, you know, is really what happened. And it threw off her game. And just, you know, the naysayers, the haters, a lot of stuff what a lot of the pop stars experience and deal with. And so that was really discouraging for her. And she went through an eating disorder, she had some issues there. And then just with her taking a break, stepping out, she definitely found, it's interesting how when you take the break, like the Jonas Brothers, they took the break and in their break created a mastery. She did that too, ran out an incredible album. You're right, it went to the tippity top of the charts. And she crushed it. And by the way, this is the highest rated Netflix original biography documentary by an artist. So it's the highest rated. So I would say, you know, if you're looking to see a little bit of her transformation and how she got so big and what that was about and her inspiration behind her work, it's a winner for me. You too? Addie, thanks for joining us, babes.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Next up on deck was the wild card for Mr. Coogler, and he went with Molly's Game. Ryan, give us a little color about Molly's Game.
Molly's Game. So as much as I miss going to the movies over this COVID, and I used to go once or twice a week, I also miss playing live poker. Like, I love poker. I love movies. I love poker. So I love movies about poker. And to me, the Godfathers are always going to be Rounders and probably the Cincinnati Kid with Steve McQueen. But Molly's Game is a really worthy entry. So this is based on the true story. Molly Bloom, she wrote an autobiography in 2014. She used to run the world's biggest poker game. So she was somebody's personal assistant. One night he had her set up a home game with him and his buddies. She went there, she set it up. He thought she did such a good job that it took off and she quit working for him and started her own games. And at one point she was throwing games. Guys were showing up like Leonardo DiCaprio, Ben Affleck. I know you love Ben Affleck. He was there. Tobey Maguire, sports figures like Alex Rodriguez, Russian mafia. Like, she was putting together these games. Guys were buying in and winning and losing millions of dollars. She was taking a rake. She was making money head over foot. And she wrote this book just about her career and how this happened. She ended up getting busted. I think if she's not in jail, she's not. I don't know where she is right now, but the book was like fascinating. It was the best read. She names names. It's all the names that you would expect to be at games like this. So anyway, they adapted it into a movie. Aaron Sorkin wrote and directed it. It's the first thing he directed. He's the guy that wrote Moneyball, A Few Good Men, Social Network, which I actually think is probably the best movie of the last decade. But this was his directorial debut, and it was really cool. Now, the book was fantastic. The movie, obviously, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. It doesn't cover it all. But Jessica Chastain plays Molly Bloom. Idris Elba is her lawyer. Kevin Costner is her father. And it's just this amazing, you know, story, like kind of this success story, but it was a success in doing something illegal, but just fascinating. And if you like poker, there's a lot of good poker scenes and there's a lot of intrigue and there's a lot of just everything. I thought this movie, which came out a few years ago and which is available, you know, on DVD, Blu-ray, probably, you know, cable TV, is really worth seeing.
So I'm sorry, you mentioned Ben Affleck. Was he in the movie?
Well, so he was in the book. So in the book, she actually named the people that were at these poker games. For some reason, I don't know if the studio was worried, they didn't name people in the movie, but reading the book, you know, oh my God, this guy's supposed to be Ben Affleck. This guy's supposed to be Tobey Maguire. And so it's really cool. And it was kind of neat to both read and watch it because, you know, one is more detailed, but the other one you get visual. But Ben Affleck was winning and losing millions of dollars in a given night at this lady's home game. And just crazy stuff and just a fascinating read and watch.
That's insane. Very intrigued because I'm a huge poker. I love poker, Texas Hold'em, super fan. So let me ask you this, for somebody who's a super fan, because I haven't seen the movie, I'm interested in seeing it. Would I get a real essence of the game and of poker and reality of that, or more focuses on a storyline?
You know what, she had it. So it's definitely her story, but I think that they're trying to make the poker scenes accessible to non-poker players. So like my wife, Julie, you know, she watches poker on TV with me occasionally. She doesn't really play. She doesn't have a huge grasp of the game. She was able to follow both the book, which she read, and the movie. Mm. There are a couple sequences where they actually, like, they do a voiceover. This is how you play Texas Hold'em. So this is the flop, and this is the turn, and this is the river. And they have these cool diagrams. So they want it, you know, they know that the people that see this movie aren't all going to be, you know,
right,
poker, you know, savvy. So I think that they really open it up and make it nice for the non-fan to also kind of follow along with the different hands that they show and the different pots that are won and lost. So they do a really good job.
Really cool. So look at that. We've got three great movies that we have. We've got Palm Springs, we've got the Taylor Swift documentary, and we've got Molly's Game. Three totally different types of, you know, things to watch. Escape, get your mind off it, challenge yourself, time block to go and check these films out. I mean, you know, and now, which is what you guys have all been waiting for, is our, you know, doing some judging and bring out our emojis. So let's do our first emoji is going to be for Palm Springs. And you can't see it, but Ryan, tell us your emoji.
So mine is basically the sun. Not my son, but like the sun that's in the sky with a smiley face and a pair of sunglasses. This movie, even though it's a little dark and as I mentioned, a little cynical, it's Palm Springs, you're in the desert, they're at a wedding, they're at the swimming pool. It's very bright, it's very cheery, goofy. So I went with that.
Remember, they are three doors down in Agua Dulce. Just kidding. Okay, but that's where they are. But how awesome is that?
What about you?
What?
What's your emoji?
Oh, my emoji is this happy love is in the air. A little dizzy icon is around the top of the skull. The eyes are X'd out. It's like, it's just kind of wild. And you, if you saw this emoji, which hopefully I can get a piece to put it on, you know, to post about it, but it makes you very curious. It makes you very curious and want to see and check it out. All right. So on the Taylor Swift, one, I did a Taylor Swift emoji. And so it's an actual emoji with her hair and her bright red lipstick. And it's totally her image. And she's happy. Ultimately, her thing is be you, do you, this is me, you can't change me, and your judgment doesn't hold me down. So that was the vibe I got from this one.
And then for Molly's Game, I went with, I guess I'm getting predictable. Last week we did a war movie and I went with a war guy emoji. This time I have an emoji holding five cards, so I guess it's not really Hold'em, maybe five-card draw. But the emoji also looks a little sad because even though it's like poker and it's exciting, she went through a lot. And I mean, she wasn't a saint or anything, but there are a lot of people that have done a lot worse, and she really got busted. And so it's kind of a sad face. Maybe they're holding a bad poker hand and that's why they're sad. But this represents Molly's Game to me.
Awesome. You guys, thank you so much for listening to Crown and Coogler for our movie reviews. Turn in next week. We're going to be episode 4. You're not going to want to miss it. This one is going to be off the charts as well. Coogler, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks for your insight. You're incredible. I'm learning so much from you, and thanks for challenging me, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.